Thank you for joining us for today's COVID-19 update. I know we were starting a little bit later than usual, but obviously we had Dr. Birx here in town, had a very, very good meeting with Dr. Birx that I'll comment on. I first wanted to wish Bob King, Charles R. Bob King, a happy birthday. He is a U.S. Navy World War II veteran, and he turned 95 years of age on Friday, and he's from Jonesboro. Wanted to wish him well and thank him for his great service to our country. Secondly, I wanted to mention my meeting with Dr. Birx, and it was a very, very good meeting where she got to hear from our hospitals, from our education, and she got to hear in terms of our long-term care facilities, our prison facilities, had a very good discussion on how we're fighting COVID-19 here in Arkansas. I thought she made some comments that were encouraging to me. She said our positivity rate is coming down in Arkansas. She said that we're down 30% in our new cases over the previous week, and that will be reflected in the upcoming reports. Obviously, that's encouraging. She certainly encouraged us to do more, that we still have more work to do here in Arkansas. We listened very attentively to her admonitions in that regard. She also gave us some insights in terms of our antigen testing, in which, as you know, we purchased some antigen equipment that we could do that testing in our public health offices across the state of Arkansas. And we're waiting on the supplies for that that we're anxious to receive. She indicated that the federal government has made the acquisition of much of the antigen testing supplies that we were relying upon, and that they're going to put the priority on the nursing homes and to make sure that they have the testing material that they need to conduct the test with the most vulnerable population. And so that will make us adjust our timeline for putting out our antigen testing equipment as we plan, but we will continue to make those plans as we receive those supplies. I also wanted to just mention that in terms of the absentee voting, I was asked this weekend whether I'd seen the U.S. Postal Department's letter, and I have reviewed that letter, which was addressed to our Secretary of State, and it clearly indicates that if everybody waits till the end in Arkansas to send their absentee vote in, then it could be challenging to, if there's a large number of those, to get everything counted in a timely fashion. And that's a good heads up. I think the response is that we simply alert people that if you're going to vote absentee, we encourage you to do that early rather than late to make sure that the absentee vote gets in adequately in time so that it could be counted properly on election day. With that, let me go to schools for just a second. And the public schools in Arkansas will start the week of August 24th, which is 1 week from today. It is interesting to note that many of the private schools in Arkansas have already started. And so we estimate that there's 52 private schools that are already operating in Arkansas that is providing education to 15,000 students, and they have over 2,000 faculty and staff that's at work engaging in the education for those children. We put off our public education program for 2 weeks to give us more time to start, but it does give us some information flow as to how that is working in the private sector with the teachers that are there, that the students that are there, and I also welcome them back to the classroom and hope that they have a good year in education. Let's go to the cases. And I'll first start with this weekend. We had, as you know, 673 new cases on Sunday. 198 of those were in corrections, which were primarily the Benton Work Release Center and the Varner Unit as a result of our retesting efforts. Today, we have an additional 412 cases, and that is with testing of 4,093. And so that's a reduction in the number of cases today with 4,093 in tests. That brings our total cumulative cases to 53,077. We have 8 additional hospitalizations that brings us to 486, and 4 additional deaths that brings us to 603. The only two counties that are above 20 in their caseload or the new cases is Placid County with 54 and Sebastian County with 21. Those are two counties that we talked about with Dr. Burks that clearly indicates that we have some additional work to do in those counties. If we look at the graph, we'll see where we are in our last day, and that takes us to the rolling average, which shows that we're still going down from our peak. We need to continue to go down, but we're making some progress there. And then the number of currently hospitalized is still well below the peak that we had, even though it is up a little bit from the previous day. The number of active cases is very encouraging because it's on that downward trend. There's always some ups and downs, but it's on a downward trend right now. And that brings us, I don't show this all the time, but the community cases, which are excluding those that are in correctional facilities, and that indicates the same trend. If you look at the 7-day rolling average of positive cases, or our positivity rate, of course, we always want to get below 10%. We're right on the margins now, but we're headed in the right direction. That's a cumulative total. If you look at the 7-day average, I think it's right at 10 point something percent. So hopefully we'll get that down below that before school starts. And then the date of test result and testing facility type, both the Department of Health and the commercial labs had a slower day, but we're still even with that over 4,000, but we'd like to be much higher than that. In our cases and in our testing, and hopefully that will come up. And then finally, we'll see where we are for the month. I'm actually encouraged by this. We set a very robust goal of 200,000. Well, actually, I think it's 190,000 in PCR tests, and the rest we were hoping to do an antigen test, which we're still bringing in the antigen tests that our pharmacies are doing. Hope we can increase that. But with 94,000, a little bit over halfway through the month, we're gonna be very strong in our testing, which gives us very robust testing across Arkansas in terms of the percent of our population. And with that, I welcome Dr. Romero for his comments.
Thank you very much, Governor. So I'll repeat the numbers and expand on them a little bit. So as stated, we had 412 new cases in the last 24 hours, 12 of those from correctional facilities and 4 from the community. Our total number of cases to date in the state is 53,077. Our active cases now total 6,341, comprised by 38 nursing home cases, 994 correctional cases, and 5,309 community cases. Currently hospitalized individuals are 486, which is an increase from yesterday, by 8. We have no change in the number of individuals on a ventilator at 120. Deaths have increased by 4. To 603. Total recovered patients in the state is 46,133, an increase of 561. As mentioned by the governor, we tested 4,093 specimens yesterday. The contributions by private and commercial institutions was 2,857, followed by Arkansas Department of Health at 880, and UAMS with 356. So with that, I complete the numbers. As the governor mentioned, we had a very robust discussion with Dr. Birx about the status of testing and tests and positivity in our states. One of the things that Dr. Birx pointed out was that transmission now appears to be mostly in the area of community and familial. That is that we're having get-togethers with families in our backyards. We're having get-togethers with our neighborhoods. Being outside and getting together doesn't mean that you're not going to spread the virus. So when you get more than 10 people together, there is certainly a risk to do that, whether that be in the family or whether that be in the community. So we urge caution in doing so. We urge avoiding that if possible. Again, if you do use it, if you do decide to do that, again, I think a mask would be prudent in what we have learned today. And we will update you as we learn more about what transmission is like in the near future. Thank you, Governor.
With that, we'll take any questions.
You said there was a timeline change for rolling out the antigen testing. Can you expand upon that?
The antigen testing is being done in our pharmacies. Many of the pharmacies have that available, and we're getting that linked in to our Department of Health so we can accurately and quickly report and record those. In addition, we have made a purchase of 200 antigen, BD antigen machines through the Department of Health that we were planning to deploy to our local public health offices so that it could be utilized and in the community. An antigen test, of course, is a point of care test, so it's a quick turnaround test, and that's the advantage of it. We were hoping to have the supply kits for that soon, and we do have enough to get started. We have 1,200 tests, which is a significant number, so we'll be able to do 1,200 of those tests. But to continue that supply, we have to have more supplies for those BD machines, and that looks like we're going to be close in time as to whether that will come in time because of the priority in getting those to the nursing homes first.
But the state is still, you're not changing where you want to send them. You're still wanting to send them to those local public health offices.
That's correct. Our strategy remains the same. It's just our time frame is going to be very close as to whether we can make sure that that testing is available without any delays or interruption. And we're going to start that. We've got 1,200 tests. We'll see where we go from there.
Governor, could you tell us a little bit about the disparity in cumulative cases and deaths over the weekend? I think cases went down by 1,200, maybe Friday into Saturday, and then deaths went down by one Saturday into Sunday.
Yes, let's ask Dr. Romero to address that, please.
Yes, thank you. So we adjusted our numbers over the weekend. We discovered that some of the negative tests were not being entered from the database, which is called Rhapsody, to our database in Red Camp. We've now solved that issue, and those were shifted over to Red Camp. In addition to that, we went back and we, quote, cleaned up, end quote, the data a little bit. So there were some redundancies in some patients that were being noted twice. There were also individuals that were from out of state that were being counted as in-state, and they were removed from the rolls. So the number now represents this cumulative negative removal of these cases that were positive but from out of state and any duplicates. With regard to the second question, which is the individual that we lowered the death from 600 to 599. So in reviewing the deaths that had occurred, we went back and we looked at it. That individual was diagnosed or had his death outside of the state, the test that was performed on that individual was a false positive test. So because of that, that adult was removed from the rolls. So that's why you saw that one case down. Thank you.
Yes.
Are you able to confidently say that we are overall on a downward trend, or is it still too soon to really know?
Well, first let me refer to Dr. Birx's comments in which there was a reduction in our positive rate, and secondly, a reduction in our cases. And so I was delighted that she recognized that with the White House Coronavirus Task Force. Clearly we have a downward trend over the last week to 10 days. I'm not necessarily saying that is going to continue, because that all depends upon individual behavior of people in Arkansas, compliance with a mask mandate, making sure you social distance, making sure that you don't get into large gatherings without being protecting others. And so I am hopeful that it will be a consistent downward trend, but no, I'm not in the predictive mode when it comes to the coronavirus. Any other questions?
Governor, how does the...
Hi, Governor, this is Jamie Weiss.
All right, just saying, we're going to take one from the table, then I'll go to you just a moment.
With the Little Rock Education Association posting their statement on Friday, are you worried about the possibility of teachers just not showing up to school next Monday?
Well, across the state, like I said, we've got teachers showing up in the private schools day in and day out. And then as I travel the state, so in Monticello, I hear from school districts all across the state, and they're ready to go, and teachers are ready to go. I'm disappointed that the union here in Little Rock has indicated that they're pushing teachers not to show up on the first day of class if they're assigned in-classroom instruction. That's disappointing to me, and I do not believe it's helpful for the students, and that it doesn't recognize the steps that have been taken to protect both teachers, staff, and the students. Now let's go remotely.
Hi, Governor. This is Jamie Weiss with 4029 News. Kind of going off that question, is your office tracking the number of teachers who are resigning or retiring instead of returning to classrooms? And are you concerned about having enough teachers going forward?
We do not have statewide statistics on that. And so Secretary Key may have that. I do not have that in front of me. So I have not been notified that this is a problem by superintendents statewide. I know that there has been some that have retired. Some of that's normal. Some of it is because, they're concerned because of their own health reasons. Other times, there's accommodations that are made for those that are concerned about the health. And of course, that's the first solution. I hope that will be continued to be discussed with the leadership of the schools and the teachers who are concerned. Am I concerned about the first day of class? We're ready to go. It's important for our students, and so let's have a good first day of school. Any other questions? Yes.
Hey, Governor, it's Chelsea Helms with KNWA in Fayetteville. So State Rep Denise Garner, she tweeted that if a college student from another state tests positive for COVID within the first 2 weeks of being here in Arkansas, then that positive case will be attributed to their home state. So if this is the case, how will this adequately represent the caseload within communities like, say, Fayetteville, where a good chunk of our students here at the University of Arkansas are coming from other states like Texas?
Dr. Romero, are you aware of that?
No, I am not. That's the first I've heard.
Of course, Representative Garner will have to verify whether that is accurate or not in terms of how the Department of Health and the university system will assign that. I assume that she's getting that information from the university, and that actually makes sense to me, because if they're coming here Obviously, if they test positive within the first couple of weeks, it indicates they acquired the virus from their previous state. And then after that, it should be counted for here in the state statistics. It is important, as you note, that we know about those just for informational purposes and for contact tracing purposes. And I'm confident that we will have that system in place for that information to be provided to the Department of Health. That's part of the partnership with higher education. And I appreciate Representative Garner really alerting people to that logical distinction then as any case is developed during the first 2 weeks.
So are you suggesting that when we do get the additional information coming from the different school districts, we will have that added information about out-of-state students testing positive, say, at universities like the University of Arkansas?
Well, we were talking about the university system. Now, are you switching to the school districts?
Well, I know that you're releasing that specific school district information specific to local schools. So I guess what I'm asking is there going to be something similar to that based on universities as well?
No, because in the local school district situation, that is, they're Arkansas students, they're Arkansas residents. And so that would not be a factor in terms of counting any positive cases within that school district. But it is a very good point. If we have positive cases within the first 2 weeks, that is simply reflecting where they were the prior weeks before school started. And so that is really not reflecting school activity. And that's one of the things that Dr. Burks pointed out is that, you know, a school reflects the community. And if there's a positive case in a school, it's simply reflecting the community and the community spread or the situation there. And that's why it is very relevant and should encourage all of our adults, all of our community to recognize what happens in that community impacts whether students can finish school with online instruction. Because if you have a high level or high risk of community spread, that's more difficult to have school to continue in the normal fashion. And so that should be a real admonition to us. But specifically, no, that will be what you recited would be handled at the higher education level in that way, but would not apply to K through 12.
Dr. Burks also talked about the virus popping up again. See people gathering together with their friends and outdoor parties, indoor parties. With college coming back, what level of confidence do you have that these college students are going to be doing the right thing and following all the public health mandates and not having lots of parties?
Well, in terms of college kids, it's going to be a challenge. And this is where the universities need to educate. And they also need to have a plan whenever a student doesn't behave properly or carefully. And so, sure, that's a worry. And, you know, it's a little bit different at the college level because if you didn't have classes, they would be back in their community somewhere. You know, for the majority of students that go to our universities in Arkansas that come from Arkansas, it simply means they're back in their community. And the question is, how are they going to behave in their community? And that's the K through 12 education scenario as well. That, you know, if a high school student is not in the classroom, if they're not, you know, working in classroom instruction, then they're going to be learning virtually and they're going to have a lot of freedom to move. And it's not going to change the environment that's out there. And so the lesson is we're individually responsible, whether we're in school or whether we're learning virtually or whether we're in college or whether we're at home. Let's do the right thing for our communities and so we can continue our education.
The new school district case number website that you put up last week, I think, or the week before. How should parents use that information? Are there some numbers that they should be looking at and say, when it gets to a certain level, they need to rethink sending their kids to school?
And you're speaking of the district level data. Well, first of all, we want them to be aware of what the circumstances are. We want to provide as much information as we can, consistent with privacy rules. That allows them to make good decisions, but also hopefully to have a good comfort level that the right decisions are made, and it stops rumors, because if you don't provide the information, then it's just going to be what they've heard, and usually what they've heard is a lot worse than reality. And so we want to get that information to them. That's between them and the schools. They have to make their first decision early as to whether they go virtual or whether they go in classroom instruction. They have options. They have choices. Once you start that, I think the school districts would like to see them continue that. Those are options that will be provided by the school districts and decisions made by them. If there's not any other questions,
Governor, I have one, if you have a moment, please. Neil Gladner in Hot Springs.
Yes.
Last week, you talked about the antigen testing in all of the different counties as a way to help the school districts get fast answers if there is a case in a school. How does the news that you got from Dr. Birx impact that plan once you get out of the 1,200? And is the NBA's so-called spit or saliva test a possible solution to help with that?
The last part of the question, that's a new technology that Dr. Birx indicated will be rapidly produced, that will be available perhaps mid-September. So we'll continue to look at that to see if that's an option. If the pattern falls, then those kind of resources it's very competitive to get those resources. We'll see where Arkansas can compete to get those type of new technologies. In terms of the antigen test, we're continuing to look to see what options we have there, how we can supplement that. I'm grateful that we did buy that equipment, because this is a long battle that we're in. And secondly, I'm glad we've got 1,200 tests. That will be very helpful to us, but we want to be able to supplement that with additionals. The whole idea of these daily updates is that we share the good news and the bad news, the ups and downs. And so hopefully we'll have some good news to follow that there'll be some supplemental testing supplies that we'll be able to get our hands on to continue that strategy.
Governor Frank Lockwood with the Democrat Gazette. If we're not going to count out-of-state students coming in who test positive, do we have a plan in place for tracking Arkansas students who test positive at out-of-state schools? And also, do we have a plan in place if we have a situation like UNC is having, where they have a big outbreak and they're switching to remote classes altogether?
In college or K through 12?
Well, how about both?
Okay. Well, on the first part of the question, if an Arkansas resident goes out of state, do we have a means of tracking that? I would assume if they're an Arkansas resident, that information would be sent back to our state. And Dr. Romero is indicating that's the case. So we would be able to have that information, and that is important for us to have. I think your question is, if there's an outbreak, is that what you said, Frank?
Yes.
Yes, we have the capacity, and we've invested in that to do the testing, the contact tracing. And in terms of K through 12, absolutely, that's part of our plan to be able to shift to virtual. We want to start with in-classroom instruction, but if there is a necessity to shift to online instruction, that could be done. That is our blended learning environment that we've created with our schools. And so, you know, you measure the risk, whether it's low, moderate, or high risk, and make a decision in conjunction with the Department of Health as to what the response is. So if it's a serious breakout, it can be shifted to online instruction. You know, in terms of the colleges, I think they need to address that individually, but I would assume they have preparations for that as well. With that, I think we're good. We will keep you posted about tomorrow. Right now, we plan on being in Blytheville, Mississippi County, and that's important because, you know, as Dr. Burks pointed out, you look at some of the counties that we have in Arkansas that are challenging. Many times they're close to another border. And in Mississippi County, we have people that work there from Tennessee, and Tennessee's had its challenges. And so we want to take a look at that. Obviously, that impacts our communities as well. With that, thank you all very much.